It's hard to believe that it was over 25 years ago that I served as the intern here at Lutheran Church of Honolulu, 1986 and 1987. It's truly a joy to be here once again, and it's been a joy to see some familiar faces. One of the things I was in charge of as intern, one of my projects was to start a young adult group. I've seen some of the young, Pastor Phyllis was in the young adult group. Jimmy at the first service, and Pam, and maybe there's some others here from that young adult group 27 years ago. We're not young adults anymore, but we had so much fun in the intern's apartment down the road here. Really good times. Good to see all the people who were like family to me, who took care of me and Missy as we spent our year here. Pastor Don, of course, was my supervisor, and Pastor Fritz was my spiritual director of sorts, and I really appreciate seeing him and thankful for the time we spent together. It does not seem possible that over a quarter of a century ago, that's passed since I last worshiped in this space, learned about doing ministry, and experienced aloha. It's truly humbling and joyous to be here in this place, to once again be in the pulpit, to share in the good news of the gospel. When people found out, when they asked me about my seminary experience, and they found out that I was lucky enough to go to Hawaii for my internship year, they always asked, what was that like? That had to be incredible. How lucky are you? So I always smile, and then I lie. And I say, it was great. It was incredible. It was fantastic. But I did lie, because in many ways, despite all those wonderful adjectives, doing my internship in Hawaii was awful. It was horrible. And I'm going to tell you why. What do you do after you spent a year in paradise with some of the greatest people you'll ever meet? What's left to hope for? What could possibly be better than that? I had nowhere to go but down. As some of you know, I spent 21 years doing campus ministry in Texas after that. A good experience, but it was Texas. It was hot. Paradise is where you hope to end up someday, not where you begin. I remember wondering, as my internship was coming to an end, is it possible to flunk internship? Maybe I'll have to do it over again. Not to be. And so it was, a great experience ended, seeming like Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden. The fall. Yes, it was an awful experience doing internship here. Awful because it came to an end. In today's gospel, two of the disciples find themselves on a road to a place called Emmaus. Emmaus, the place they have chosen to go back to after witnessing the execution of Jesus at the hands of the religious and civil authorities. The greatest experience of their life had just come to an abrupt and unexpected end. The person they had been following for years, the person who opened their eyes to God's kingdom, the person who spoke words in a way that they've never been spoken before, the person whose hands comforted and healed, the person whose heart was open and loving beyond measure, the person they believed to be the Messiah, the person whom they loved, Jesus, was suddenly silenced, gone, dead. On the road to Emmaus, with dreams shattered, in a moment of deep disappointment, these two disciples utter what theologian David Loos calls four of the saddest words found in the scriptures. But we had hoped. But we had hoped. Perhaps this is the place where we can all enter into this story, into these four words. Perhaps this is where today's gospel becomes part of our story. The place where Scripture becomes that divine encounter on the road to Emmaus, uttering words we all know, words of sadness in the midst of deep disappointment. They say all good things must come to an end.
And like it or not, we know that to be true. Life is filled with disappointments. From superficial things like having to leave Hawaii after a great internship, to more serious things like having to pick up your things when a job comes to an unexpected end, suffering an injustice, moving on when a relationship runs out, that stumble when an addiction you thought was gone returns, to leaving the hospital alone after the death of a loved one. But we had hoped. Yes, life is full of disappointments, events and circumstances that put us on the road to Emmaus. In The Magnificent Defeat, Frederick Buechner describes Emmaus as that place we run to when we have lost hope or do not know what to do, the place of escape, of forgetting, of giving up, of deadening our sense and our minds, and maybe even our hearts too. But we had hoped. Words spoken by those first disciples when everything seems to have come to an end. But we had hoped. Words we too have spoken. Words that connect us to this Easter story. Words that put us right beside those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Thankfully, the story doesn't end here. In despair. Stuck along the way. For even as these sad words are spoken, but we had hoped. They attract the interest of a stranger who is traveling on the same road. And suddenly things begin to change as this stranger engages the disciples in conversation. In the midst of their despair, he asks questions. He speaks truths. He offers hope as he slowly and gently reveals the pattern of faith, a pattern of death and resurrection. The story of death that leads to new life, the very heart of the promise of the gospel. The disciples would later recall that as this stranger spoke with them, their hearts began to burn with a new, strange passion. As the day ends, they reach that village of Emmaus, the place where they had planned to hide away in their fears and their confusion, in their pain, in their grief, in the very grip of death. As the day ends, perhaps unknowingly, in a moment of hidden faith, they are compelled to invite this stranger to stay with them. Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. The invitation is accepted. And as bread is broken, as hospitality is practiced, the stranger is revealed as Christ. In a moment of grace, their eyes are opened up, even as Christ disappears. Yet now all things have been made new. Those with eyes see, those with ears hear, and hearts believe in promises made true. And in a bold, faithful response, the disciples find themselves back that very hour. They leave Emmaus and head back to Jerusalem. This morning, as we gather together, this stranger is once again in our midst, present and eager to engage us in our despair and our brokenness and our hopelessness, eager to meet us on the journey of life, the journey of faith, no matter where we might be on that journey. So it is that we read the Easter story to each other. We show pictures of the Easter story. So it is that we listen for that place where we might enter into the story. More often than not, that place where our brokenness compels us into the story. And then we listen. We listen to the voices around us, the voices in the liturgy, in the music. We listen to the voice within us, and even to that strange voice, especially the voice of that stranger. And then we will gather and break bread, come together for that meal, the meal where God becomes present in the promise of life, the meal where strangers become family, the meal where we become the holy community, gathered to care for one another, strengthened to care for those in need, our neighbors and the world. The meal where hospitality is taught, practiced, and received. And in all these things, we are called and we are reminded that we are a people of death and resurrection. And we're invited to lean into this good theology, to practice it, to trust it, and to find the courage, the grace, the love, and the strength to turn around, to turn away from Emmaus and return to Jerusalem, return to the foot of the cross, even to the cross we are called to carry, to return in the certain hope of the resurrection, into that kingdom that comes even now, into that time and place where God is making all things new. I'd like to share with you a song called Open My Eyes. As I sing, I invite you to pray along, listening for the voice, looking for the stranger in our midst. Open my eyes, that I might see you revealed in each and every way. Open my eyes, that I might see you standing beside me every day. And when my eyes are open wide, fill the emptiness inside. Open my ears, that I might hear the sweetest sound ever made. Open my ears, that I might hear you calling me by name. And when my eyes are open wide, fill the emptiness inside. And open my heart, that I might believe and stand on promises true. Open my heart, that I might believe and find myself only in you. And when my heart is open wide, fill the emptiness inside. Open my eyes, open my eyes. As we find ourselves on that road to Emmaus. May we be blessed by encounters with strangers who speak the truth, conversations that cause our hearts to burn with passion, and the opportunity to break bread with one another, revealing the presence of Christ in our very midst. And may these things, the good things of faith, bring us to life abundant and life everlasting. Amen.